While our borders remain pretty much closed to everyone but New Zealand citizens and permanent residents to prevent COVID-19 cases being imported, hundreds of foreigners have actually been allowed into the country under special exemptions. More than 2,200 workers have been granted exemptions, some of them on economic grounds. So what's the criteria and what industries are deemed essential? Economic Development Minister Phil Twyford joins us now. Hi Minister, how many exemptions have you signed off on?
So I've signed off under what is actually a very narrow range of criteria for exemptions for what's called other essential workers. I've signed off 22 applications over the last month, and that's about 154 individuals.
So what are those other essential industries, and what do they need to prove to be allowed into the country?
So to give you some examples of the kinds of things that have been approved, for example, a technical specialist who installs chairlifts at a ski field, a specialist ultrasound technician for scanning ewes to determine pregnancy, someone supporting the installing and commissioning wind turbine generators on a wind farm. So quite a diverse range. And as you say, there have been a number of people who've come in from film production industry.
How many from film production?
56.
56 of the 154, you were saying?
That's correct.
So like a third of them. And what evidence did they have to produce that their jobs were essential, or what benefit do they have to prove?
So there are three main principles that the officials apply when they assess these applications. The first is that the person seeking the exemption has to have some kind of specialist skill or talent that can't be filled from within New Zealand. There's an element of it being time critical. What, you know, why do you need it now? Why now and not in 6 months or 12 months? And the third thing is an assessment of the economic value of this person coming into the country at this point. So, and it has to be much more significant than just, you know, it would be inconvenient for this particular firm. The officials look for evidence that it would have an impact on significant employment or supply chain, so it would affect a wider community or a wider industry.
So of the film industry applicants then, how much were they worth to us? What's the dollar figure of their economic value?
Oh, I don't have that that in front of me, Lisa. I know it was significant. A lot of these productions without certain cast and crew that could not be filled from within New Zealand. Some of these productions are, you know, seeing hundreds of millions of dollars invested and sometimes hundreds of jobs.
I can understand why if they had a specific person cast in a role that might be the case, but surely there'd be New Zealanders here that could do every part of film production, wouldn't there?
So in some of these cases that we are talking specific cast members, and the ones, the applications that I signed off were for productions that were already underway and they were interrupted by the lockdown restrictions, and so they were wanting to come in and resume filming and production.
Who pays for their quarantine?
So under this narrow economic exemption, the firms who apply on behalf of those workers pay for the quarantine facilities. In general, you know, the quarantine and supervised isolation arrangements that have been in place for all of the people coming in, you know, New Zealanders and all of the other people coming in, like, you know, on humanitarian reasons or essential health workers, family members of people with residence visas that got stranded overseas. All of those people coming in have been, the Crown has paid for their quarantine arrangements. But with this special economic exemption, that the companies who are applying, they pay.
So do they go to the same managed facilities that everyone else is going to, or are they nominating where they are staying?
My understanding, Lisa, is that they've been going to the same facilities, but officials are exploring the possibility at the moment that, in the expectation that we're going to progressively free up these restrictions over time, we are exploring the idea of other ways and other facilities that could be, you know, for example, a firm bringing in a number of workers could arrange those quarantine facilities, but they would have to be certified and signed off by the officials first.
How far down the track are you with that?
It's just exploratory at the moment, I think.
So how far off?
I should stress, Lisa, I would say we're a number of weeks. I should stress, Lisa, that this is an interim arrangement. You know, things have been changing so fast as the government's been responding to COVID-19. For the first, I guess, 6 weeks or so, public servants assessed these exemption applications and took them to the COVID Cabinet Committee. About a month ago, Cabinet tasked me with handling these exemptions. While all this work's going on, actually, there's a great deal of work underway to look at the wider settings for the border. You know, there's a lot of talk about how we can build the world's smartest border. There's a lot of work underway around the Trans-Tasman bubble. This question about skilled workers that are needed for the economy, it's obviously a very different labour market now than it was pre-COVID. So taking all of those things into account, there's work underway that will end up in a cabinet paper looking at all of these policies. So the exemptions that I'm doing are just really an interim arrangement.
Okay, so any of those exemptions that you signed off, were any against the advice of officials?
No.
Okay, let's move on. Can you just chuck your Transport Minister hat on for a quick second? We've just done a story about Air New Zealand here. How comfortable are you with Air New Zealand holding on to millions of dollars of money that they're not refunding to Kiwis, many of whom want that money back because they're in a tight spot? How comfortable are you with that?
Yeah, so this is not something that I'm responsible for as Transport Minister, Lisa, but I will say that the government's not altogether happy with what's been going on in relation to this with Air New Zealand. My colleague Chris Farfoy, who's Minister of Consumer Affairs, he's, I think, been pretty critical publicly about this. He's got some work underway with officials.
Yeah, well, he's told us he's written... Yeah, he told us he spoke to you a couple of weeks ago and asked you about reviewing aviation laws around the refunds. So where are you at with that? What work are you doing?
Yeah, so I've got work underway with the Civil Aviation Bill, which is a major overhaul of our civil aviation legislation. It covers a wide range of different issues, I've agreed that officials should look at this issue, reporting on the content of possible reforms to Minister Farfoy, and I'm very happy for it to be included in the overhaul.
So are you recommending that there be a change in the law that allows people to get refunds? Will that be the recommendation?
Well, I think that's the general thrust of what Minister Farfoy has asked for work to be done on, but I haven't seen any official advice on that yet, so I wouldn't like to comment.
So are you committed to doing this? Lots of Kiwis want to know about this. It's a lot of money.
On the face of it, you'd have to think that there's a case for looking at change, but it's not without its complexities, and the officials are doing some work. I haven't yet seen any advice on it, but it will be Minister Farfoy who leads on that.
Time frame for it?
You'd have to ask Minister Farfoy that, sorry.
Appreciate your time this evening. That is Phil Twyford, who's the Economic Development Minister and Transport Minister.